For our last Order My Steps for 2024, I want to talk about our attire, the clothes we wear. I want to make sure that we are understanding the importance or how God sees clothing. Now, let's be careful with that, because I think most of us come from a culture which taught about dress, but did it teach it correctly? For instance, I know there's still a lot of old school people that when they see somebody in a business suit, they look at it and go, man, that's how things should be, or certain dresses or certain things. Now, nothing wrong with preference. Everything wrong when we point it towards God. And we do that with a lot of things. You talk to people and we like things that made us feel a certain way to attribute it to God when it has nothing to do with God. And at times, it makes us ignore what God says on this. What does he mean when he talks about clothing and how we're supposed to wear it? We're going to talk about that in this Order My Steps, Clothe Yourselves. This is talking about true spiritual attire. Now, just to make sure we have no mistakes in clothing, when we talk about clothing or clothing yourselves in God's word, it's actually symbolism pointing towards our representation. So the clothing is representation of what we present ourselves as. Okay? It's telling us how to present ourselves. Now, just to give an overall thing of symbolism and to understand the importance of this clothing, we're going to hit the end of a parable where he was talking about the banquet, and we know this banquet ends with a very important and a statement that I think we all know, familiar statement. And in here, we notice that there is clothing we are all required to wear in order to be accepted in. Okay, Matthew 22, 11 through 14, after he's went over some of the things concerning this banquet and what happened, he goes and towards the end of it, in verse 11, he says, but when the king came into see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. I've been asked this, what are wedding clothes? Remember, there's a lot of symbolism in here, and wedding clothes represent something that we're going to talk about. Friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. The king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, where else do we hear weeping and gnashing of teeth? Well, that's hell. Because he makes the statement, the familiar statement, the popular statement, for many are invited, but few are chosen. Some translations even say many are called, but few are chosen. But this last line that we're focused on is what was being worn. And it's going to be important for us that we understand what do we have to wear. Now, before we jump into what we need to wear, there are those who wear the wrong clothes and they do it to deceive. But God gives us a fail-safe. False teachers will present themselves as Christians, but God provides a protection. Matthew 7, 15 through 17 says, watch out for false prophets. Why? They come to you in sheep's clothing. Now, of course, who are the sheep? Well, we are the followers of the shepherd, which is Christ. So that's Christians. So they present themselves as Christians. I want to make sure you understand this. This is where many are caught. Many people see the clothing or the presentation and immediately go, well, I thought they were a Christian, and are easily deceived, even though he just told you this is what the false prophets are going to do. They're going to present themselves as Christian. So if you're just looking at, once again, that presentation, that attire, you're missing something. Because he says, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Here's our failsafe. In verse 16, he says, by their fruit you will recognize them. We'll pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. And if you read further, and as many times we've gone over fruit, one thing I hope you understand is if you're a bad tree, you can't produce good fruit. And if you're a good tree, you cannot produce bad fruit. That's the failsafe God has added in there. And you have to understand fruit to recognize, okay, I see how they're presenting themselves. Let me see the fruit. And that's how we're supposed to be. So this is going to work with us as well. The presentation is worthless. If I'm not a true tree, then I'm just a deceiver. Keep that in mind. Now, true Christians clothe with Christ. I want to jump to the chase, okay, to give us the answer. What is our clothing? It has nothing to do with the material clothing and all of that other stuff. It has everything to do with my presentation presenting Christ. He shows in Galatians 3, 27 through 28, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. The ones who have truly baptized themselves into Christ, in other words, have made sure we totally indulged and lived for Christ and make sure he's our total purpose, this is what you did. Now, those who have not truly baptized themselves in Christ have not. There are people who are religious, people who are following tradition, but they're still presenting themselves. We're going to talk about that. But we're seeing that those who are truly Christians, what they display is Christ. And this is why he says this, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, this is a warning to let people understand, because in today's world, we allow other identifiers to define us. And I hit the word allow. By doing that, you're automatically canceling out Christ. This is why people foolishly like to limit Christ to a certain race, to a certain gender, to a certain place. Now, he is male. I don't want to get that twisted. You know, people, Bibles have twisted it and called God she and things like that. No, no, no. What I'm not saying is keep him to a gender. In other words, the identification of it. When we present Christ, it's something much bigger than these characteristics that we're given. That's what he's saying, but I don't want to mix it up. He is male. God is male. So keep that in mind. However, what he's saying in it is that definition or that title is not the thing that stands out. What stands out is Christ. Do you understand that? So I'm clothing myself not with black man Christ, not where somebody else is doing it with white female Christ, another person is doing it with Asian male Christ. You see where I'm going with this? Okay? We're making sure, no, it's just Christ, no matter what format and whatever you're in. This is very important for us to get because every day, that's what we must represent. Romans 13, 13 through 14 adds to this. It says, let us behave decently as in the daytime. Now, the behaving is how I act all the time. Some have mistaken this thinking while in the daytime. They think translation says that. No, it says exactly what it says. Behaves decently as in the daytime. So whatever I do throughout my life, my decently and how I'm reacting is something that is honorable and respectful. He says not in orgies and in drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissensions and jealousy. Now, all of those I read are acts of the sinful nature. Okay? And hopefully you recognize that because they're very important for us to grasp. So the acts of the sinful nature, we are not to be living in that. Because when I behave in the sinful nature or in the flesh, then I'm behaving incorrectly. Okay? But he's saying instead of acting in the flesh clothing, he says rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does that look like? He says, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. There are many people who say they're Christians, but they're some of the most selfish, self-centered, self-focused people you've ever met. So there's a contradiction there. You understand that. The biggest difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is who we're looking for, who we're looking out for, what everything is for. Remember when Jesus said about God the Father, I do exactly what my Father tells me. So Christians understand when he tells me to put others before myself, to love my enemies, all this stuff is going to go without thinking about it. When you see the people that are like, well, if you know I'm this way, then you need to change. Well, it didn't make me happy. You really upset me. You really hurt me. When we make it about us, we're gratifying us. In fact, some of the statements we may make are true, but we're not doing it because the statements are true. We're doing it because of us. See this. I clothe myself with Christ. Christ never allowed himself to be the purpose, even though he is the purpose in God. You understand? If he made him as a human the purpose, then he would have gotten away. In order to clothe ourselves with Christ, you've got to do this, and every Christian must do this, and we talk about this pre-step before you get into Christianity. We must remove the old clothing of self before putting on Christ. Colossians 3, 9 through 11 says, do not lie to each other since you have, watch this, taken off your old self with its practices. There's a lot of people who had certain traits that are not godly. And if somebody were to ask them about it, because here they are Christians still with those traits, they'll go, well, that's just the way I am. They're even owning it. But that was supposed to be taken off. Why do I see remnants of things that not only do not represent Christ, but it's actually corruptible to Christ? Because we didn't take them off. So once again, the question comes, then are we really Christian? Because we're supposed to take that off. And he goes on to say, and have put on new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. We're going to talk more about that. Hang on. Okay, and then he says that statement again using some other terms. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free. He's talking about status and circumstances now. You understand that? You know, where I came from, how I was born. Once again, we know Jesus was born a Jew. We get that. But that didn't matter. That doesn't matter with the overall picture. It played a part. Just like in the other things we understand our characteristics, they play a part, but they're not the standard. They're not the foundation of any of these things. Okay? He says, these are not the things that are defined by. He says, but Christ is all and is in all. Christ. All of us, our jobs, no matter who we are, no matter what we're going through, no matter where we are, must represent Christ. And make sure it's pure Christ. Now understand, the clothing of self is corrupt and is decaying, while the clothing of Christ is renewing to be godly. Okay? Is renewing us to be godly. And this is why it's so important for us to have. That's why we have to get rid of the one, because the other one is destroying us. When I present myself as very smart man, when I present myself as a black man, when I present myself as an American, do you see where I'm going? All of that stuff is limited and corrupt. None of it is, quote unquote, godly. How many of us really knew this? Let's get an understanding. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. So this is something that we all were told to do. You don't hear it taught as much today, and it should be. You got to get rid of you. You must remove you. Why? He says, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Do you see what's corrupting it? You go throughout the Bible, and I know we like to say Satan did it, or the world did it, or the stuff I'm watching on TV did it, or the music I'm listening to, or my friend. No. The main thing that corrupts this and has done it from the beginning is our desires. We allowed what I want, and remember, the desires themselves, nothing's bad with them. They're bad when I allow them to be the defining factor of my decision-making and my actions. He says, this old self being corrupted by its deceitful desires. And what are we supposed to do? We got to remove that, or your desires are going to keep corrupting. He says in verse 23, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. So my attitude has to be in the right place. And to put on, watch this, the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So all these clothing, which are symbolism of what I am now going to present myself of. There's another verse that tells us that we are to die and allow Christ to live. And what this does, it builds me, it helps me mature, it helps me to grow in the way that I'm supposed to. If I don't take off me, I won't grow. And this is why you have people that are professing Christians for many, many, many years, no growth. Frustrated with life, don't understand what's going on because they have not taken off the old self. And you can tell, watch them. They're selfish, self-centered. The way they talk about people, they usually do things based on them. They are the main standard in everything that they do. That's a very common practice in the body. The clothing with Christ has specific protections for our spiritual walk. It's so necessary, and he even goes into detail when he talks about this protection. It's one of the major parts of our spiritual warfare that we don't press as much as we should. I'm not going to go into detail because this is a whole sermon in itself, but just to go over what this clothing does to protect us. Ephesians 6, 11 through 18, this is put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against this devil's scheme. So this is one of the reasons we need to put on this armor. And not just parts of it, all of it. Do you understand that? Because remember, Satan looks for the weak spots. He's not going to go, oh, he has a shield, I'm not going to battle. He's going to go, man, look, his feet, they're uncovered. Look, there's no helmet. I'm going to attack. Because how he's going to attack us, God is showing us what he's protecting. He says very clear, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. All of this is saying the battle is going to come in different ways in spiritual forces being led by the devil, okay? Verse 13 says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, in other words, when they attack, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. In other words, because you're relying on Christ, by relying on the weapons that he is giving us, we'll be able to stand. In other words, his attacks will not work. But in many's lives, his attacks are working because we have not done this. All of these are spiritual representations. They tell you of what it represents because of what it's guarding and the materials, the spiritual material it's made out of. Do you understand that? I'm going to go through these quickly just so we understand it. Verse 14, he says, stand firm with the belt, which is made of truth, buckled around your waist. And of course, that's our core. It's covering truth. It's covering how we don't, you know, most people go by their quote unquote gut. And that's a false feeling that's leaned upon deception because it's leaned upon desire. When I put this on, then the only thing that's going to be my gut is the truth. The only thing that's going to be my gut is God's word. That thing that I really holds everything together is truth. And I'm going to have that on. He says, with the breastplate of righteousness. Keep an eye on breastplate. We're going to come back to that briefly. Breastplate of righteousness, because what's guarding my heart has to be righteousness. Remember, your heart is your purpose, and the purpose better be for righteousness. Because unfortunately, we tend to allow ourselves to fall for what we desire and what seems right to us, not what is right. Reason why you have so many churches giving in to hate or giving in to wrong things like false ministries and false marriages and stuff like that is because it's not righteousness they're leaning on to. They're leaning on to human point of view, how we see it and how we feel. Okay, so but what will guard our heart is if I have righteousness to guard my heart. Verse 15 says, and with your feet fitted with readiness. Main reason why we don't know how to minister, when to minister, all of these things when it comes to our ministry is because we have not put the material of readiness on us going. Readiness throughout the Bible shows us that I'm prepared to minister in season, out of season. The Bible shows us how to do this. He says that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition, the first set put on, they stay on. Next one, you have to consciously take up. These are spiritual aspects that I have to think about. You understand that? That comes from the gospel of peace. He says, verse 16, in addition to all these, take up, first of all, the shield of faith. What's my shield made out of? Faith. What will they do? Which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, the reason why I'm taking this one up, and I'll show you the other ones too, is because I have to consciously use it to ricochet or to stop what Satan throws at me. Now remember, it's all spiritual. So he's using his demons in certain ways. And if I go by sight, that means I put the shield down. This is why we mess up. We put the shield down and want people to deal with things through sight while we have the shield of faith. He made it very clear. He says you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, letting us know that's weapon that he's using and that's how he gets to us. But faith gets rid of that. He says, take the helmet of salvation. In this world where we have many other factors in our jobs and our families, with different viewpoints, all that stuff, we have to continue to put on this helmet to remember, I'm saved. Now, what that means is there was mercy, there was grace. I understand I do all things through Christ. I make sure that I glorify God and all that I do. All of this stuff has to come together in how I think. Remember, that helmet covers your mind. That covers the way, the path you take. I got to do it as a saved person. If not, once again, I'm allowing the attack to attack me. And then the thing I fight back with, that we have to fight back with, is the sword of the Spirit. Okay? It's a spiritual sword, which we know is the Word of God. That one he just gives straight to us. That's the Word of God. We fight back with the Word of God. So when I hear people try to use intelligence, history, how they feel, the talents that they have, all of this stuff, they missed it, and they're losing the battle as much as they may think they're winning. But when I just use the Word of God, and not just what I say, but what I do, that's how that sword works. When I do that, you understand that? That's attacking back, and you're winning every time. When I love my enemy, you see how that works? I'm winning that battle. Clothing is incredible when we use it. I told you we were coming back to breastplate real quick. The breastplate also shows, and it's out of all of them, the only one that we get to see its deep ingredients. We could do a study on righteousness because it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8, but since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, doing what? Putting on faith and love as a breastplate. But if you notice, the helmet gives that still solid one, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. So here's that salvation, which we still have on as the helmet. However, the breastplate, you may go, well, why isn't it righteousness? Because the ingredients to true righteousness is going to be faith along with love. Have to have those two in order for it to be righteousness, the ingredients that God added. Just a side note for you to recognize. Now, the clothing of Christ has very specific spiritual material, okay? So make sure this is what it looks like to present Christ. And I got to give you a warning in this. These must be godly, not the human form. I'll show you going over which is which and how that concept works. So we got to make sure we put that out there. You understand? So this is going to be very important for us to have that. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with these things: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And he also shows in Colossians 3:14, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So this is Christ, and as he goes back, we go back to Colossians 3:12. It says, clothe yourselves with, and the first thing it says, compassion. Now, this is going to be one of the examples I'll use. Human compassion actually goes against God. It's like what I said earlier. The main reason why people have hate groups is because people feel bad for a certain group. They'll say, I love this group, so we're going to hate every other group, and then they call themselves Christians. That's their form of compassion, saying, I'm taking up for just this group. Or you have the more of a liberal group, and those groups, even though God says something's wrong, they'll go, but I've seen people doing it, and they mean well, so they should be able to do it, and it will allow ministries and weddings and marriages to get distorted. That's human compassion. That's not what he's talking about. Okay? In fact, the translation for this word compassion means bowels of mercy. Okay? And mercy, we're talking about a pity or just really looking at what a person's going through. Godly compassion is really looking at what a person's going through, not judging. Because a lot of times we tell them, well, they're not going through some, I went through the same thing. Instead of going, man, they're really struggling. The kindness in here, once again, the world's version of kindness is just being nice. Niceness is nice, but all of that is still relative to how a person sees it. Everybody's perspective of kindness is going to be in different form. This kindness means moral excellence. Moral excellence. In other words, in every way I deal with everybody is going to be grounded in how we're supposed to be with Christ. You won't hear them say attitude, treats people bad, very cold, ignorant. You won't hear those words that we talk about, and it's going to be excellence. It won't be most of the time, or you're better than you used to be. It will be excellence. So Christians will understand in every realm, I have to represent Christ. That's kindness. Humility means exactly that. Humility is I'm here to be used by God in any form God wants me to be used. There's no question. Okay? A lot of us are here to be used by God as long as. In other words, we sprinkle on a lot of pride. Pride draws a line. God, I'll do whatever you want, but I'm not doing this. And we may not say it out loud, but watch how people are with other people. Watch how people are with activities. Watch how people are in their relationships. Do we do the submission that we're supposed to? Are we giving in? That's humility. When you see people doing it, even though you know they don't, quote unquote, want to. Then you have the gentleness. That one is so clear. How we treat other people. Are we very spiritually careful on how we minister and how we encourage? Okay? That's what it means when it says gentle. It doesn't just mean I talk real quiet and soft. You know, I mean, that may be a factor I play in it, but I assess the situation through what God says. You understand that, right? There's some with mercy, as the verse said, some with mercy, with the hating of whatever even come up. There's excellent. There's things that I'm aware of that the Bible tells me that I go, okay, how do I deal with this person in this situation? It won't come from what I think. It'll come from what God says. That's going to take what's called patience. It's going to mean I may repeat myself. It's going to mean I don't repeat myself with frustration. I don't repeat myself making them feel bad that I had to repeat myself. Getting this. And the thing that binds this and everything else together is agape love. Do not mix this up with desire. Because too many times we mix up how we feel as love. Well, what we feel, 1 Corinthians 13, has all those characteristics. That closes it. That's the clothing. That's what it looks like. Now, as another side, because this still fits in it, it's because it's representing Christ, and I think we allow, once again, how we feel and our confusion to get in the way, does talk about clothing for just a certain group. Remember, in Christ Jesus, all of these don't exist other than, and remember he says, it's not that they don't exist because they do exist because he gives instruction for a lot of those in certain areas, just like in this one. When it comes to women, he only gives, when it talks about attire in a certain way, this instruction to women. We must recognize that the Bible gives this special instruction to females focused on dress. Pay close attention to this, because we try to, and you'll get ministers that'll go, well, so people are supposed to dress. Well, and the thing we have to realize, this could be that if it's done wrong, it could be a distraction, a deception. It can be misleading, a stumbling block. And if done right, it's a ministry. But for some reason, it's just for women. Look what he says. He tells how women physically dress will be a symbol of who they are and what they represent. Now, when he starts with this in 1 Timothy 2, 9 to 10, he says, I also want women to dress how? Modestly, with decency and propriety. The only part that's hard about this is you had groups of organizations that told women how they're supposed to dress, and it's usually a bunch of men. This is how you're supposed to dress. Don't wear this. I mean, they had dresses that went down to their ankles. Is that what he means? Because what's your version of decency? Once again, it's all perspective. It's not what it means. He's actually going to give us the answer. So it's going to affect the physical dress, but it's not talking about the physical dress. Well, Pastor, how do you know? Because he's saying, I'm not talking about, when he goes not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, he's saying, I'm not talking about doing it that way. And if you notice, he gives physical appearances and clothing and jewelry, but look what he replaces it with. Verse 10, but with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God. That last line, very important. I'm going to come back to that. But so the way the women dress have to be with good deeds. Yes, all Christians need to be doing good deeds, but in good deeds, that has to be what stands out, not how you dress. Men are very visual, okay? All right, and in that visual, I think it plays a major part that if you are allowing your clothing to speak for you instead of your character, then you failed. And he's saying, this is for the women. Women are not as visual. How men dress isn't as big of a deal. Do you understand this? Even though characteristics still heavy as a man, we just read characteristics the men are supposed to have. For some reason, God has presented this to the women. And I would not be the minister I'm supposed to be if I didn't present this. And he even goes further on what we call beauty. Woman's beauty is defined by what is internal, not the external. Now, it will affect the external based on the internal. I'll show you what that means, just like we've seen in the first one. 1 Peter 3, 3 through 5 says, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold, jewelry, and fine clothes. Now, let me be very clear. Is he saying you shouldn't wear braided hair, wearing of gold, jewelry, and fine clothes? Not what it's saying. It's not what it's saying. It's saying your beauty should not be defined by. Women today will spend a whole lot of time on how they look based on worldly standards, and that is going to be what represents them. Not right. Understand this. He says, remember, he gave us physical. Look what he replaces it with. Verse 4, instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Now, I said I was going to come back to the good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God. Please make sure, because when he's talking about good deeds, that's in the first pass. We're going to come back down to the beauty. To make sure that your actions are based on God. There's a lot of people who do what the world may see as good deeds, but it doesn't fit God. Just because you do what the world sees as good, it doesn't make the deeds good, because only God is good. What Satan has done very well is had people in their actions react out of emotion or react out of what the world says and then want to be labeled a Christian. But what you did, can you show me how it aligns with what God says? First part. And then when we get down to the second half, like we were talking about in verse 4, where he says, instead, it should be that of the inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. It's the reaction in which you're leaning upon God's spirit, not upon emotion. You're not allowing how you feel to allow you to react out of that emotion, where you're presenting, where you're saying, where you're making, you know, in other words, you're being known by speaking based on how you feel and not acting based on the strength the Spirit gives us. Do you see that? Like I said, that's great worth. That clothing, very important that he sectioned it off just for. Understand, all of this comes together because our spiritual goal is an eternal, incorruptible clothing that will last forever. 2 Corinthians 5, 2 through 5 says, meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Okay? So in other words, we realize what we have on right now is just miserable. Why? It says in verse 3, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. So this corruptible, decaying clothing is destroying us, but if we take it off, we'll be naked. You understand? And we don't want to be that. So it says, for while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. So we can't just take off self, because then we're nothing. Have to replace it with something. What God, what Christ has offered us is this spiritual way we can do it to represent him. He offered us him. Right? We do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. And to continue on in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 54, he says, listen, I will tell you a mystery. So this is going to show us when this will happen finally. We will not all sleep, but we all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable. Right now, we all still have the ability to die. Death still exists. We have access. Death has no power over us as long as we stay in that realm. He says, and the mortal with immortality. Where I now have full access to eternity, where right now I do not. Verse 54 says, when the perishable has been clothed with imperishable and mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up. All of this symbolism of clothing is what we should be locked in and focused on. Please be careful, because like I said, I've talked to some older Christians sometimes, and you hear them seriously talking about how it's a shame how these young kids dress, not realizing when they were younger, their parents were saying, it's a shame how these young kids dress, and we get focused on things that are meaningless. Nothing wrong with making advice of, hey, it might be better if you wore this, but we're so locked in on that, we've missed the true clothing. You don't hear these discussions going on about what the Bible says about our spiritual clothing, so that when we go, we're all matching, because we all represent Christ. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly and most gracious Father, once again, thank you so much for this opportunity to receive and your word. Thank you so much, dear God, for us to grow in your word and gain the understanding of the symbolism that is so precious to us and so necessary for us to have. Help us, dear Lord, not to be misled by how we feel and what the world says, but to continually trust in your word and gain the understanding of your spirit. Help us encourage one another through your spirit way, and not to walk in such a way just to make us feel a certain way. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and all these blessings we ask in your Son, in our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we say.